Rabotai, the shir is Lifuah Shlema, Yocheved Bat Rivka, David Yonah Ben Hanan, also Liluni Shmat, Yaakov Ben Sumbul, and Batsheva Bat Rumia. There were sponsors that sponsored Liluni Shmat and Lifuah Shlema. There's still some sponsorships available. If anyone is interested, please come to me after the shir, or speak now so I could say a name. This shir is not a shir in halacha about the Haggadah. It's just a shir, small tidbits of Divrei Torah that can put you in the right mindset, in the right frame of mind during the seder. So you could feel something, feel a little more than what you felt in previous years. And second of all, so that maybe you could have something to say during the actual seder. It's going to be said in a very simple way, so you could understand it. Let's begin. So first things first, the seder begins with Kadesh and then Urchatz. So Kadesh, what does Kadesh mean? Kiddush. We make Kiddush. First thing of the night, we make Kiddush. Afterwards, what do? Urchatz, we wash our hands. So all the Sfarim, obviously they're very, very, very deep concepts in the Haggadah, very deep concepts, that we could understand it at face value, but we could also understand it in a deeper way. And there are specific reasons as to what specific order is, Kadesh, and then Urchatz, why Achatz, and why we break it in this way, and Motzi Matzah, and Maror, and Koch. There are specific, very deep reasons why everything has to happen in a certain way. So Kadesh and Urchatz. Kadesh, the Sfarim say, represents Kedusha. Kedusha, sanctifying oneself. Urchatz, which means washing your hands, represents what? Tahara, purifying yourself. So first we have the Kedusha, first we have the Kadesh, sanctifying ourselves. And then we have the Urchatz, making ourselves pure. Removing all the bad and all the bad from within us. So the question is that many Sfarim ask, why the Kadesh and then the Urchatz? It should be the other way around. Because we know the famous Pasuk in Tehillim, Sur Mera Vaseh Tov. First, remove yourself from bad, and then do good. First, purify yourself, and then sanctify yourself. Why, Dafka, tonight, Lil Seder, it's the opposite, it's flipped. First, Kadesh, and then the Urchatz. First, the Kedusha, first sanctify yourself, and then purify yourself, and then remove all the bad things from within you. What's Pshat? So we know that the Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they were taken out of Mitzrayim, not because they really, really, really deserved it. They weren't good boys. I don't know if for all those who thought they were, they weren't such good boys. They misbehaved a little bit. And we know that they were taken out at the 49th level of Tumah. That's how they were taken out. And as Tzadik HaKohen from Lublin explains, it dafka had to be in that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take them out in a way, at a time where they didn't deserve it. He had to take them out in that way. Why? So that he could tell them in future generations, I didn't take you out because you deserved it. I took you out because you're my children. Whether you deserve it or you don't deserve it. But more importantly, we didn't deserve it on Pesach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out despite the fact that we didn't deserve it. What happened was, he gave us the ability to skip levels. Instead of building our way to Yitziat Mitzrayim, and first you have to stop doing Avodah Zarah. And then take this upon yourself, and then take that upon yourself. One step at a time, that's what you would think. But no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out in one shot. In one shot he took us out. He gave us the ability to skip levels. He skipped us, like Pesach. Pesach means to skip. HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over the doorpost. He gave us the ability to skip and to jump levels. To jump levels, even though we were down in the dumps, we're on such a low spiritual level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still gave us that ability to come out of Mitzrayim. That's why, on Pesach, Dafka on Pesach, no other time, but on Pesach, first it's Kadesh and then Urchatz. We have that ability to jump out of where we are right now, and all of our Averot that surround us. Jumping out of it, and taking things upon ourselves, on Pesach. We have that koach. Whereas, through the rest of the year, you would say to yourself, come on, How can I learn 20 out of 24 hours a day if I don't keep Shabbat? I don't keep Shabbat. How can I go and be the next Gadol Ador? No. On Pesach, that's how it works. On Pesach, you have that ability to jump levels. And that's why the Ari HaKadosh says, he revealed that the biggest, the highest spiritual lights, I'm not a person to understand Kabbalah, but whatever this means, to each his own, the highest spiritual lights, the highest Shefa, comes down on the Leil HaSeder. It's a very important time, it's a very valuable time, and we should take advantage of it. That's number one. I want to share with you the Me'or Anayim. There's a Me'or Anayim in Parashat Tzav, and he says something amazing. I can't point to any part of the Haggadah where it connects to, but it really connects to Yetziat Mitzrayim, and I must say it because it's eye-opening. And I'll read to you a little insight. This is the Me'or Anayim Parashat Tzav. V'zehu b'nisan nigalu v'nisan atidim leigael. We know the famous Ma'amar Chazal that says that in Nisan Nigalu, in the Bnei Yisrael were redeemed in the month of Nisan, right? They came out of Mitzrayim in the month of Nisan. Uve Nisan Atidim Leigael, and the month of Nisan, in the future, Bezat Hashem, should be very soon, Atidim Leigael were bound to be redeemed also. So he says, what does that mean? Dehainu Al Hayam, Haya Kitrug, Elu Ve'elu Hayu of the Avodazara. We know that by Yam Suf, there were Malachim and Shemayim that were vouching against us. They wanted us to. They didn't want us to be saved. Why? They said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're over there with us. They're idol worshippers. How can you take them through the Yam Suf? How can you cause such great miracles for them? V'im ken, he asks, Kashe be'emet, ech nigalu? So then, if so, how were they redeemed? They were taken out while being over there with us, idol worshippers. How were they redeemed? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeem them? So in the previous part, we explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that ability to jump levels. He explains something else. Listen to this. Ach b'mitzrayim asu Yisrael kol ha-seder balayla kavya ketzurata. Kmo she'anu osim. He says, in Mitzrayim, the Bnei Yisrael did the seder. They did an actual seder in Mitzrayim before they were redeemed. V'hayu mesaprim b'yitziat Mitzrayim. And they were telling over the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. The obvious question is what?
How?
What do you mean, how?
It
didn't happen yet. Yitziat Mitzrayim. They in Mitzrayim. They weren't even taken out of Mitzrayim yet. How are they doing the Leil HaSeder? How are they telling over the whole story of Yitziat Mitzrayim? It doesn't make any sense. They told over the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim before they even came out of Mitzrayim. Says the Me'or Anayim, listen to this. Shehayu ma'aminim. They believed. They really, really had this emunah. Shebevadai yu yotzim, that not maybe, hopefully, God willing, like people say, Bezrat Hashem, Emir Tzeh Hashem, God willing. No, they believe that for sure we are coming out of Mitzrayim. That strong belief that they had. It wasn't like maybe, probably, we hope. Bevadai yu yotzim. We are coming out. And they started telling over the story of how they were coming out of Mitzrayim. How are they coming out? They were just imagining them to themselves. Ah, first we're going to go here, and then we're going to go there. And Paro's going to come out in pajamas in the middle of the night, and we're all going to laugh at him. And the whole story, and then Yitziat Mitzrayim, and then Kriyat Yam Suf. They were telling over the whole story to their kids before it even happened, because they knew it would happen. That was a strong emunah that they had. And he says that what? Uvotana chasadim sheim shichu nigalu. And because of those chasadim, because of those actions that they did, that emunah that they showcased, because of that, bizchut, that and that merit, nigalu, they were redeemed. As we know, the Maran Chazal, that be'emunah, bizchut emunah, nigalu avotenu Mitzrayim, the emunah that they had, this emunah, the belief that they are coming out of Mitzrayim. Uvenisan atidim leigael. And in the future, Bezrat Hashem should be very soon, we are also bound to be redeemed. So it just shows the importance, and it will happen, the importance, the tremendous, tremendous, tremendous koach that we have on the Seder night to tell over the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. If we saw that the Bnei Israel in Mitzrayim, by saying over the story, caused that they actually came out of Mitzrayim, Allah Kama Vakama, we have that ability. Wow. By telling over the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, today, we have the ability to be redeemed, Bezrat Hashem. It should happen this year.
Amen.
Whoever has a ticket to Israel for Pesach, Make it a one-way ticket. Don't waste your money on round trip. Make it a one-way ticket. Okay, next.
Is your ticket a one-way ticket?
Unfortunately. But I didn't pay for it, so it's okay.
So what? Even if it's two-way, doesn't mean we're going to take the second one back.
Okay.
Pay some money.
I was just saying to someone, if you see a Muslim guy getting a one-way ticket to anywhere, it raises eyebrows. You know something's going on over here. If you see a Jew taking a one-way ticket to Israel, you know Mashiach's coming. So Bezrat Hashem, should happen this year. So let's begin the Haggadah. The first part, the first section.
Where are you going first?
The first section.
Rabbi, do you have a one-way ticket?
Someone asked me that.
Oh, this is only God.
The first section in the Haggadah begins with the words, in the Haggadah, the actual story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, begins with what? Halach Ma'anya. So many people ask, why the first part of the Haggadah begins in what Lashon, in what language? Aramaic. And the rest goes through with Ivri, with the Lashon HaKodesh. But why do we have to begin with Aramaic? Something that's not, I guess, recognized by the average Jew. So this, I actually saw this in Chaim Avadia Sefer on the Haggadah. It's there actually is a Haggadah of Chaim Avadia Yosef printed, but it's actually in the back of the Sefer Chazon Avadia on Pesach. He has his perush on the Haggadah all the way in the back. And this is found on Amud Dalet, on page Dalet, page 4, in the Haggadah of Chaim Avadia Yosef. And he says that many people ask this question, why the Haggadah begins with the Aramaic Lashon, with the Aramaic language. And he says, maybe the understanding is like this. We have the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Yud Bet Amud Bet, that says, that Rabbi Lazar, when he used to go and do Bikur Cholim, when he used to go visit the sick people, he would always say three words. Rachamana Yitkarinach Lishlam. Rachamana means Hashem, Yitkarinach means Yiskorcha, He should remember you, Lishlam Leshalom, for peace. God should remember you for peace. That was His bracha that He gave every sick person. The Gemara asks, from another Gemara, we know that a person should not ask for his needs in Lashon Aramit, in the Aramaic Lashon. Why not? Because that's the one language that the Malachim, the angels, don't recognize. So if you want a delivery man in Shemaim to deliver your message to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Malach or Malachim, if you want that delivery boy to deliver your message to Hashem, it's not going to be delivered if you say it in the Aramaic language. So why did Rav Elazar? Why? Because they don't understand that language. So why did Rav Elazar, when he used to go to the sick people, say this bracha to the sick person, Hashem should remember you for peace? Why did he say it in Aramaic? So the Gemara answers, what does the Gemara answer? That there is no need in these particular cases, there was no need for the Malach to deliver the message, transfer the message to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why not? Because we know that the Shekhinah rests above the head of a chole, of a sick person. The Shekhinah rests there. There are various times and occasions and places that the Shekhinah rests, even though it's not in a Bet HaKnesset or the Bet HaMikdash. Right? We know the Gemara says, Ish ve'isha zachu Shekhinah benehem. If a husband and wife merit to shlom bayit, peace in the home, the Shekhinah rests between them. That's another example. But an example that the Gemara gives is that the Shekhinah rests above the head of a sick person. So therefore, the pshat over here is, Rav Elazar didn't need the help, the assistance of the Malachim to deliver the message to Hashem. Why? Hashem is right here. The Shekhinah is right here with the Choleh. So Chaim Avadia uses this, and he says, on the night, the Seder night, we don't need any malachim to transfer our messages. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down to us. On the night of the Seder, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down to us. We don't need any assistance. We don't need delivery boys. He comes down to us, and He's right there. So to make that point, we begin the Haggadah with what Lashon? Aramaic. To make that point, that we're at such a spiritual high tonight, we're at such a high level tonight, the Shekhinah is resting today, in my room, in my home, in my dining room, at the Leila Seder, during the Haggadah, during the Mitzvah of Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim, telling over the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. we reach such spiritual heights by telling over the story of Yetzirat Mitzrayim that the Shekhinah rests there. And to make that point, we begin the Haggadah with Lashon Aramit, to say, Malachim, we don't need your help tonight. We're talking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's something I saw in Chazon Ovadia. Next, we'll move on a little bit. Manishtana. So we know the famous question the four sons asked, right? We have the famous question, Manishtana halayla azeh mikol halaylot. What's the difference between this night and all the other nights? So what are the four questions? Shebechol halaylot, let's understand it on a simple level first. Shebechol halaylot, on all of the nights, right, the order is flipped around depending on which nusach you have, Ashkenaz or Dota Mizrach, I believe. Maybe there are other nuschot I'm not aware of, I don't know. So it begins, Shebechol halaylot en anachnu matbilim afilu pam echad, alayla azeh shte pam. All the nights, we don't even dip one time. We don't really usually dip things. Obviously, the person who wrote the Agadah didn't come to Sfari Bet Midrash, because every Shabbat we dip in Chumus. But there's no... What it means is there's no obligation. There's no obligation to dip. Any other night of the year, there's no obligation to dip. But tonight, we have two obligations to dip. We have obligations to dip on two separate occasions. Fine? That's one question. Why? What's the difference between all the other nights and tonight? All the other nights, we don't have any obligations to dip anything. Tonight, two times. Next, shebechol halalot anachnu ochlim chametz u'matzah. Halayla azeh kulo matzah. All the other nights, we eat both chametz and matzah. Halayla azeh tonight, only matzah. What's going on? Next question, shebechol halalot anachnu ochlim she'ar yarakot. We eat other vegetables. Halayla azeh maror. We have the obligation to eat maror. What's going on? Last question. Shebechol halalot en anachnu ochlim veshotim ben yoshvin uben mesubin, ve'alayla azeh kulanu mesubin. All the other nights we eat leaning, not leaning, reclining, laying down, all positions. Tonight, only leaning. To represent that we are free men tonight, we are like kings. Fine? So that's the simple understanding. And then afterwards, we go on to the answer of what the difference is between this night and all the other nights. The Abarbanel, in his sefer, I forgot what it's called, in his sefer, he explains these questions in a different way. And he says like this. He says the four questions are really one question. And that one question is, why tonight do we act both like free men, like kings, like free men, like royalty, and like slaves? And like poor people. It's one question. Why tonight we're acting both like royalty, like free people, and at the same time we're acting like slaves and like poor people. So? How does that work out? Because the four questions, if you go through the four questions, let's see. Two of the questions show that tonight we're acting like poor people, like slaves, and two of the questions show that we're acting like kings and free men. How so? So the first question, it says we dip once, we don't even dip any times throughout the rest of the year. Tonight we dip twice. It's a chashuv thing. We're dipping, you know. You don't only have hummus, you have matbucha also. That's right. You show that we're free men, we're kings. The second question is, all the other nights we eat chametz and matzah. We eat pizza, pasta, delicious things, and also matzah. Tonight only matzah. And matzah we know is lechem oni. It's a poor man's bread. Right, nowadays, why is it a poor man's bread? Because I just heard that there was a 1 pound of matzah, a certain type of matzah, they sold for around 400 shekel. That comes out to like over $100. So it's poor man's matzah because it makes you poor.
That's a good one.
Good one, good one. Okay. So matzah represents lechem oni. Poor man's bread.
No, it is cheap.
Poor man's bread.
Today we are so machmir.
Poor man's bread. So we see tonight we're only eating matzah, not lechem, we're not eating bread. What does that show? We're like poor people. Okay, so far 1-1. We act like kings, and we act like poor people. Next question. The rest of the nights we eat all other vegetables, tonight only maror. Maror is bitter. Bitter represents the slavery that we had in Mitzrayim. Slaves, poor people. And the last question is that all the other nights we eat in many different ways, tonight we're only leaning. Only leaning, what does that mean? Like kings. Kings lean. So on one hand, we act like slaves and poor people. On the other hand, we act like kings, free men. That's the Barbanel explains that's the question. That's the question. That's the four questions are really one question. So what's the answer? So he says like this. The answer is in the next line. Avadim ayinu leparo mitzrayim. We were slaves to Paro Mitzrayim. Ve'yatzein Hashem took us out. Biyad chazaka uvizvon netuya. And Hashem took us out. We were slaves to Paro Mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out. Biyad chazaka with a mighty arm and zvon netuya, outstretched arm. He says, the reason why tonight we act both like kings and like slaves is because when we were taken out of Mitzrayim, at one second we were slaves, and in the next second we were actually like kings. All on the same night, within a few minutes. That was the miracle that happened on Pesach, in Mitziat Mitzrayim. That in a matter of seconds, we went from being slaves to being kings, to being free people. And to represent that idea, that's what we do tonight. We act both like slaves and like kings. So the message of this pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that ability to take you out from the lowest possible place to the highest possible place in a matter of seconds. And that's what we celebrate tonight by Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. We both act like slaves, but also like kings. Why? Because in Mitzrayim, we were slaves, and seconds later, we were kings. Next pshat. This is also on the Manishtana. This I heard from someone in the name of the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch. And he says, Manishtana halayla azeh mikol halalot. Right? So the simple understanding is, what's the difference between this night, halayla hazeh, mikol halalot, from all the other nights? So we know that Laila represents galut, darkness, exile. That's what Laila represents. So if you plug that into the question, what does it say? Man nishtana ha-layla hazeh, what is different about this night, meaning this galut that we are in right now, mikol halalot, from all the other nights, from all the other exiles. Why is this exile, what's the difference between this exile that we are in today, such a long exile, and all the other exiles that B'nai Israel, that Am Yisrael were in past previous generations? That's the question. So he says, what's the answer? Shebechol alalot, on all the other nights, all the other exiles, anu achlim chametz u'matzah. We eat both chametz and matzah. So chametz represents the Yetzer Hara, as Gemara Psachim says. Chametz means the Yetzer Hara, which represents various averot, many, many different averot, many different sins. So the cause of the galut, of the previous exiles that we were in, the cause for it was Shebechol alalot anu achlim chametz, we ate chametz, umatzah, and also matzah. What's matzah? Matzah, the Sfarim say, means is another, it could also mean, first of all, it means matzah, and it could also mean machloket. Machloket means argument, strife. That's what it could also mean. Someone told me that maybe the makor for that is the pasuk says, v'chi yinatsu anashim. Yinatsu is the same, has the same shorish as matzah. Yinatsu means, and if two men would argue, would get into a fight. That's in one of the parashiyot, I think Mishpatim. So yinatsu is the same shoresh, same root word as matzah, and it means machloket, right? So shebechol alelot, going back to the answer, shebechol alelot, on all the other nights, meaning on all the other exiles that we went through, anu ochlim chametz umatzah. The cause for those exiles was what? Chametz, both chametz, various averot, umatzah, and also matzah, and also machloket. But halayla hazeh, but tonight, meaning this galut, kulo matzah. The only cause for our galut that we are in today is matzah, is machloket. It's not because of other averot. That's the only cause for the galut today. And that's what he says. And it's also menduyak, because we know the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Why? Because of sinat chinam, because of self-hatred. And is the third Beit HaMikdash built yet? No. So that means that we still haven't fixed what we messed up on in the previous Khorban Beit HaMikdash, previous destruction. So the reason, the main cause for the galut that we are in today is matzah, kulo matzah. Only machloket. That's the main cause. The Belzer Rebbe says, this I also heard from the same person, a Rebbe of mine. The Belzer Rebbe says, this exactly is the pshat in Vihi She'amda. We say, Vihi She'amda la'avotenu velanu. Right? We praise Hashem. Vihi She'amda. And Hashem, you stood up for us, lavotenu v'lan, for our fathers and for us. And then what does it say? Shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu l'chalotenu. That it wasn't only one person that stood up against us to destroy us, right? Shelo echad. Not only one person stood up against us, l'chalotenu, to destroy us. So Yibel's Rebbe says, no, that's a simple understanding. Shelo echad bilvad, that not only one person stood up against us to destroy us. He says the pshat is shelo echad. Lo echad means not one. Not one means lack of unity. No unity. The fact that we were lo echad, the fact that we did not have achdut, the fact that we were b'machloket, shelo echad bilvad, alone. That reason alone. Shelo echad bilvad. Only because of the lack of unity. Amad aleinu l'chalotenu. That's what stood up against us to destroy us. That's what stood up against us. So we see from here the importance of achdut, of staying together, of not looking at the differences between all of us and putting them on the side. Putting them on the side. Rabotai, we have so many differences. So many differences. You have two Jews, three opinions. Right? Two Jews, three opinions. Or some Yesh Omrim, four opinions. Four opinions. Two Jews, daven in three shuls. Right? It's funny, but it's sad. This is something we all have to work on. To each his own. Everyone has their own nisayon when it comes to this. Every single person. No one is going to tell you that they are completely perfect person when it comes to achdut, when it comes to unity. No one is. We have to work on that. Next. This I also saw in the Sefer Chazon Avadia. It's on page Nun Aleph, on page 51 in the Haggadah. He says, also in that same part of the Haggadah, it says, "V'hi she'amda lavotenu v'lanu." Right, Hashem stood up against all of our enemies, and at the end it says, "V'akadosh baruch hu matzilenu mi'adam," and Hashem saves us, protects us from their hands, from the hands of our enemies. So he brings down from, I don't know who he brings it down from. But maybe it could be explained with the mashal. He didn't say this mashal, I said this mashal. You'll soon see why he would never say such a mashal. So growing up, there was this game system that, I don't know, maybe I'm too old for you guys. It was called Nintendo 64. Who heard of Nintendo 64? Yeah?
Not that old,
okay. Nintendo 64. I grew up with Nintendo 64. One of the best games, other than Mario Kart and Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball, was 007 GoldenEye.
Oh, okay.
So what happens in 007 GoldenEye? You act as James Bond, and you go and you kill people. You're on a mission, you go and you kill people, right? You start off with this very pashut, simple gun. And when you kill someone, you go and take his AK-47, right? And then you use that to go and kill other people. Rabbi, how do you know these things? I don't know. Very graphic, too graphic. I'm sorry. That's a mashal. In 007, what you do is you go and take other people's firepower and you use it against them. Nachon? That's how you win the game. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he works, is that Hashem saves us from our enemies using our own enemies. He uses our own enemies to defeat themselves. How does that work? Let's explain. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. Obviously, Hashem appointed him to take us out of Mitzrayim. He was our weapon that we became victorious with, right? Now, who raised Moshe Rabbeinu? Paro himself. Paro himself raised Moshe Rabbeinu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he did, was didn't just create out of nowhere someone to come and save us. He took the weapon to save us from where? From our enemy. From our own enemy. He took Moshe, our savior, from who? From Paro. He took Moshe from Paro and he said, this person who belongs to you, now belongs to us, and we will use him against you. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. Another example, is Haman. Haman gave his evil decree, his evil advice, to kill Vashti at the Mishteh. He wanted to kill Vashti. What did he tell Achashverosh? She doesn't listen to you, kill her. What happened through that? Through his evil advice, what happened? Vashti was killed. Who is the next queen? Esther. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was, through his evil advice, through his rishut, his wickedness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him be destroyed. He destroyed Haman himself with his own firepower. Haman, you had this evil, these evil thoughts to kill Vashti so that you could rise to become powerful. That alone is going to be used against you. That's going to be used against you. And through that, Esther became the queen, and Esther ended up being the one responsible for Haman's death, Haman's downfall. And Rabotai, that's how it works in every generation. In every single generation, sometimes you see our enemies, they come up, they have these, you know, Iran, nuclear power, wow, scary. They could reach Israel in one shot, in one missile. Rabotai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's he going to do? He's going to use those weapons against them.
Self-destructive.
He's going to use those weapons against them. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. So let's tie it into the Haggadah now. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miadam. So the simple understanding, guys, this is the punchline. The simple understanding is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us, protects us from their hands. But the way you could understand it now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miyadam, from their weapons, He takes their weapons and uses that to destroy them. Hashem saves us miyadam, from their weapons, from their hands. That's how it works, Rabotai. We have to have that emunah. Next. And this is the final thing, we're going to end off with this. So we go through the rest of the Haggadah, we reach Motzi Matzah. Ah, finally, we're so hungry, we didn't eat since the beginning of the morning, we didn't eat anything substantial. Motzi Matzah, finally the Matzah comes out and we pounce over it. And then the Maror, and then the Korech. And then then Maror and Korech, right? First Motzi Matzah, we take out the Matzah, and then we eat only the Maror. And then the Korech. The Korech is what? We take the Matzah, make a sandwich. Matzah, and then the Maror, and then the Charoset, and then Matzah on the bottom. The Maror, and then Matzah on the bottom. Sandwich! So, Rabotai, we know that the Matzah represents Geula. Matzah also represents redemption. Because that was the food that we ate coming out of Mitzrayim. Represents redemption, Geula. And Maror represents Galut, exile. Why? Because we eat the Maror on Pesach to remind us of the slavery and the exile that we had in Mitzrayim. So Matzah is Galut, is redemption. And Maror is exile, slavery. So what happens first in the order of the Haggadah? Does the Maror come first or the Matzah come first? Matzah. First Motzi Matzah, we eat the Matzah, and then Maror. But guys, usually in history what happens? First we go into Galut. First we become slaves, and then we're redeemed. But tonight, we see what? First we eat the matzah, which represents redemption, and then only afterwards, we eat the maror, which is slavery. It should be the other way around. First the slavery, and then we're free, we're redeemed. Why tonight do we eat the matzah first, and then the maror? So the message is, Rabotai, that Galut and Geula, it's a very deep concept, but we have to understand this. Galut and Geula, exile, when we're in exile, we're in a long suffering and tortured by the other nations, that, and Geula, and being redeemed and being freed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're not two separate things. It's one thing. It's one entity. Galut and Geula is they're two parts of one entity. And that one entity is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan. The way He wants the world to go. And it's for our own good. So when we go through hard times, and suffering, and pain, and exile, after exile, after exile, and Holocaust, and Spanish Inquisitions, and Crusades, and blood libels, and the list goes on and on and on. That is, you would think it's Galut, it's something separate. No, it's part of Geula. It's connected to Geula. And that's the message that we're trying to convey on the night of the Seder. That it's not that there's first Galut and then the Geula. It's not that first we eat the Maror and then the Matzah. No. We flip around the order to show that they're both one. They're both one. They're part of the same thing. And that's the pshat. That's why it says, Matzmiach Yeshua. Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the Yeshua, the Savior, the salvation to sprout. What does Matzmiach mean? Who can describe to me the Matzmiach? What does that mean? Matzmiach.
Sprout.
Semach, with a plant. How do you plant a plant? What happens? No? Lemasse. What do you do?
Water it.
You take the seed. What do you do with it? Put it in the ground. So a person who doesn't know the way of the world, doesn't have any derech eretz, when he sees you taking a seed, digging and digging and digging into the ground, and then putting the seed into the ground, he says to you, what are you, crazy? What are you doing? What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish with this seed? What's he going to say to you? Yeah, soon, in a couple of years, there's going to be a very big tree over here. Ma, ishtagata, you're crazy? You're digging into the ground the opposite direction. The tree's going to grow from it. What are you talking about? No, the pshat is that sometimes, in order to grow, in order to have this tremendous shefa, you need to go down. You need to go deep into the ground. And that's what it means, matzmiach Yeshua. That's why it says the Yeshua, the salvation, the Savior, the Geulah, happens in a way of matzmiach. Matzmiach means what? To plant, to seed something. Because that's how the Geulah happens. The Geulah happens by digging deep into the ground. First going through the Galut, and that's part of the plan. You're not going to grow, you're not going to be redeemed. The tree is not going to grow if you don't dig it into the ground. We will not be redeemed if we don't go through this Galut process. It's part of the master plan. And that's the pshat with Korech. Korech, what do? We take the matzah and we sandwich the maror with the matzah. What are we trying to say? The maror, the galut, it's nothing. It's part of the geulah. It's part of the master plan. We take the matzah and we crush it. We sandwich it together to show that the maror, the galut, it's nothing. It's not anything. It doesn't have any entity. It's not tangible. It's part of the geulah. And there's only geulah. There's no such thing as galut. It's only geulah. It's all part of the geulah. It's all part of the Savior. I'm just going to end off with a story that Rav Eli Mansur said here in YU last year. He said over a story that happened to himself, and this story shook me like crazy. Wow, what a story. I'm not going to say it as well as he does, so mechila, if I'm going to take away any part of the enjoyment of the story, but I'll say it because it has a tremendous message. And that message is like this. One time he said that he was driving to shul on Erev Shabbat, driving to shul. And he heard on the news, 1010 Winds or 880, whatever it is, he heard on the news that there was a helicopter that went for a tour in the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon is one of the wonders of the world in Arizona. It's a tremendous, I don't know, huge valley, right? There are big mountains and then there's a big valley, and whoever hasn't been there or doesn't know what it is, It's an amazing thing to see. I've seen it myself. You even say a bracha. Rav Schechter said that you make the bracha on it. It's one of the wonders of the world. Yeah.
What bracha do you make on it?
There's a bracha that you say on one of the things that. Anyways, he heard on the news that there was this newly married couple named Yitzhak, whatever, Goldstein. Mechila to whoever Yitzhak Goldstein is, I'm sorry. Random name.
Shalom's middle name.
And Sprint does something else. I don't know what. Make up a name. And they were a newly married couple, and they went on their honeymoon to Arizona, to the Grand Canyon, and they went on this expensive helicopter tour to go see the Grand Canyon, and they crashed, and they both fell to their deaths. Newly married couple, they got married a few months before that. And he heard those two names on the radio, and he said, oh my God, I went to yeshiva with him. I went to yeshiva in Israel with him. And right away he called, made a few phone calls just to confirm that it happened. Yes, it happened. And he went to pay he went to be Menachem Avelim, he went to pay a shiva call at the home. And he felt really bad. 30 days later, and that happened in August. 30 days later, he gets a phone call. Because he's a rabbinic figure, you know. Please, we're having a hakamat machseva, right? After 30 days, they pick up the tombstone next to the actual kever of the people who died. And we would like to invite you to come and be there. He said, I apologize, you know, I'm really sorry, I'm not able to make it. I'm tied down with my community, I have to serve my community, I have to give shiurim, minyanim, this and that. He said, basically, I'm not able to come. Fine. That day, Rabotai, was September 11th, 2001, the day of the Hakamata Matseva. And what happened was that this person that passed away worked in a big law firm on the 90-something floor of one of the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center. And the 30th day, Hakamat Matzeva, was September 11, 2001. And because most of his floor was Jewish, they all came to pay respect to this person that passed away in the cemetery. And around 200 people from his firm did not come to work that day, or wanted to come late to work that day, in order to pay dues, to pay respect for this person. And what happened was, as you all know, the rest is history. The plane went into the towers, and every other person that went to work on that day in that firm did not make it, did not survive. Those 200 people were saved because of this Hakamat Matzeva that happened. So Reli Mansur, that was the story. Reli Mansur commented that at the time when I heard this news, of this newly married couple, they just got married. And he said to himself, he had these machshavot in his head. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have no mercy. You have no mercy on these people. They just got married. They have a whole life ahead of them. Let them live a couple of years. Let them bring some children. No. And he was very upset and he was very angered. That's what he said. But then, when he heard that news of September 11th, and he heard that all those 200 people were saved, he said, "Bezeh Lashon," he said, that I heard a voice come down from heaven, from Shemayim, and talk to me personally, and said to me, "Eli, how dare you question me? How dare you question me? You're asking me why I took away two lives? With those two lives, I've saved 200 lives. How dare you question me?" That's what he said. That's what I felt coming down from Shemayim, this little voice coming into my ear. How dare you question me? Rabotai, we see things that look really bad sometimes, and they look evil, and we start asking questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why? Why? In this particular story, Rav Eli Mansur found out why. But very often, we don't find out why. We have to have the emunah that there is a why. There is a reason. It's for the best. Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing it mamash. It's not that, yeah, it's okay, he knows what he's doing, you know, don't leave him alone. No. It's for our best. When these things happen, it's for our best. Something much better is happening because of this. You have to believe that. And as evidence from this story, you can't describe this story in any other way. Evidence as this story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon things that seem very bad, but they're not. They're really good.
What does it mean, that one life is worse than another, like 200 lives?
How can you compare? You can't compare one life to 200 lives. You're right. Nachon. But in our own eyes, right? In our own eyes, 2 and 200. It's not a simple thing. 200 lives. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the koach, should give us the zchut that this Pesach Bezrat Hashem, we know, Benisan Nigalu Avotenu Mitzrayim, we were redeemed in Nisan, Benisan Atidim Legael, Bezrat Hashem, this coming year, on Tetva Benisan, as Chacham Avadia Yosef brings down in the Sefer Chazon Avadia on Pesach, that the Beit Shlishi is going to be built on Pesach, on Tetva Benisan. So Bezrat Hashem, this coming year, will be Zochet to celebrate. We'll all be Zochet to bring the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim Abnuya this coming year. Amen.